The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We carry the largest in-stock selection of Hunter ceiling fans. They provide consistent comfort all year round and also help reduce energy costs. Right now, save big on Hunter ceiling fans when you shop at Menards. View our entire selection of Hunter ceiling fans today on Menards.com. Plus, our weekly flyer with plenty more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him...
Nigel Farage.
Nigel Farage is here, straight from his trip to Scotland. Listen, I don't know where we start, really, because...
I've got an idea.
Have you?
I've got an idea. Right.
It's more than the fucking government have got.
I was listening, as I do today, to Prime Minister's question.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Pochin, the excellent new reform UK MP...
Oh, what about all the groaning, wasn't
it? Yeah, but she stood up. She stood up, and it was a left-field question.
Yeah.
And it completely threw our useless Prime Minister to Tia Keir.
Right.
And she said, would the Prime Minister consider following countries like France, Austria, China...
Yeah, Denmark.
Tunisia, Denmark, and on the list goes. There's about 25, 30 countries in the world that have banned the burqa.
Yeah.
She said, and many of them are Muslim countries. She said, would the Prime Minister consider following these other countries in banning the burqa in Britain?
She was also quite clever because she mentioned only the countries in Europe, and she said, given that he wants closer alignment with Europe.
Yeah, that's good. Right? But But you'd think she'd said, you know, would the Prime Minister consider... in order to save costs for this country, murdering every baby that's being born for the next 10 years. Because when she said this, the House of Commons, you know how noisy they are during PMQs, it went like this.
Ooh,
and it fell into this shocked silence.
Yeah.
And then the story was written up by the various online outlets, Yahoo in particular. You know, this shocking intervention that stunned the House as Sarah Pochin, the newest MP.
It's bullshit, isn't it?
I mean, it's a perfectly valid demand and one that I would fucking agree with.
Yeah.
You know,
even if you don't agree with it, I mean, what you don't do is what Keir Starmer did, which is to completely blanket and say, and I think his response was, I'm not going to go down that line.
That's exactly what it was. He said, well, I'm not going to follow you down that line. Now, this is another issue. That fuckwit speaker, Sir Lindsay Hoyle.
Oh, yeah.
Why isn't it in his job? I'm told this is not within his job.
High life Hoyle, they call it.
Yeah, long haul, high life Hoyle.
Yeah.
I'm told this is not within his job description, but it fucking well should be. This is Prime Minister's question time. Now, you heard Kemi Badenoch today. Sarah Pochin.
She was good.
Yeah. Every single question he was asked, he failed to answer.
Yeah.
Now, it seems to me that the Speaker of the fucking House, if a Member of Parliament asks the question of the Prime Minister, what about banning the burqa? And he said, and his answer is, I'm not going to follow you down that line.
Yeah.
The Speaker should step in and said, this is Prime Minister's questions. You've been asked the question. Fucking well answer it. That is not acceptable.
I mean, the one thing at least he did acknowledge at one point, and I don't normally watch Prime Minister's questions. I didn't watch all of it this week, but I caught that Starmer didn't answer a question. He was being interrupted. And Lindsay Hoyle actually said, I'd like the House to be quiet. Order, order. Because even if he's not answering the question, we'd like to hear the answer. So at least he made some reference to it.
It's the
first time he's ever done it. But you're right. What he should be saying to Starmer is, excuse me, Prime Minister, this is called Prime Minister's Questions. Would you mind answering the fucking question?
This is democracy at work, this is.
You can't just not answer the question if you don't like the question or give a different answer. But this is what politicians now do run-of-the-mill constantly. You see them all on fucking Laura Kunzberg's show, on The Daily Politics.
It's getting worse,
even
isn't
on
it?
Our shows. You get a fucking politician on... You ask them a question, and they answer a completely different question.
It's getting worse, isn't it? Yeah. It's getting worse.
Because they're all getting this media training, and they think they're smart, and they think they're smarter than we are, but they're fucking not. You know, we were supposed to have that bloke Luke Pollard on the other day. Luke Bollard, I'll fucking call him, at 9:20. And he actually tweeted out his entire sort of round of interviews that he was doing. You know, here's him when he was going to go on GB News, LBC, BBC, blah, blah, blah. And it finished at 9:20, and the last one was at 9:15. And he agreed to do ours, and then he suddenly cancelled and said, oh no, I've got a prior engagement in Parliament that I didn't know about. And basically fucking bottled it, because it was the last one of the day that he could have done at 9:20 on the breakfast show here on Talk, and they're fucking frightened to come on.
Of course they are. But this, you're absolutely right. This not answering questions. We all, you know, everybody's been aware of this for many a long year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the notorious Michael Howard with Jeremy Paxman not answering the same question 14 times. that was when everybody went, this is what these cunts always do.
Yeah.
It's getting worse and worse and worse. And the worst practitioner of not answering a direct question is our cunting Prime Minister.
Rachel Reeves is not much better.
Oh, fucking hell. What, you know, as you say, who do the fuck do they think they're kidding? As you say, they also think that they're being clever. Oh, yeah, I've had media training. I know how to deal with this.
Right.
You don't know how to deal with it, because the way you deal
with it makes you
look like an utter dumb cunt.
Yeah. It makes them all look stupid because they're frightened of saying what the truth is. Funnily enough, I'm in the midst of writing it. Probably by the time this comes out, hopefully it'll have appeared in the Telegraph. About how this fucking government, but not just this government, the whole of the fucking sort of Westminster establishment has been gaslighting us as a country for fucking years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Things you can't talk about, things you can't
say. Like banning the
burqa.
Don't
ask about banning the burqa. Ooh, that's fucking close to the bone. Oh, what about, now it's a little bit better, but it used to be years ago. Oh, you can't talk about immigration being bad because immigration's great. Everybody knows it's great. Everybody knows that fucking immigration made Britain what it is today. Everybody knows that it's great to have a multicultural society. Well, maybe it fucking well isn't. And maybe it's gone too fucking far. And maybe it's time we were actually fucking telling you, as the people that supposedly run this fucking country, that you've made a fucking complete balls of it.
Yeah, and
collection of cunts.
Total cunts. And it was the Damascene conversion of Labour during the campaign for the last election. It was early on in the campaign. Fair play to them, I suppose. For the first time in their narrative, Labour, it was a good electoral move. They stood up and said, it's not racist to be worried about the migrant crisis.
Yeah.
Before that, their approach was, if you say you're worried about the migrant crisis, if you say there's too many of these fuckers coming across on small boats illegally, you are a racist.
Yeah.
In other words, another technique to shut down fucking serious intelligent debate.
Yeah.
You're right. It's that lot in Westminster are closing down any intelligent narrative in this country with their refusal and their terror to talk about issues that might be a little difficult.
Yeah, and they can't handle it. And even now, you can see the terror in fucking Keir Starmer's eyes. He doesn't fucking understand. Look at what he did during the Southport fucking situation, right? He immediately went to his sort of, you know, default position. The problem here is not the fucking monster who stabbed to death, brutally murdering three beautiful little girls. That's not the fucking problem. The problem is the fucking right-wing bigots who are changing the fucking democracy of this country and are setting fire to fucking hotels with nice people, migrants in them, nice people, you know, going to mosques and threatening people, going into them. Nice people, very nice people. These horrible white people, look at them. They're fucking disgusting. That's his fucking default position, a fucking scumbag.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got a real massive problem with this Prime Minister. He's a fucking moron.
He's a massive liar.
He's a moron. He's a liar.
Yeah.
He is clearly, epically out of his depth.
Yeah.
He just can't do this.
He can't do the job.
He's not up to it. And we are in trouble because of him.
Big trouble. I mean, one of the things that he lied about again today was when Kemi Badenoch made a reference to the $30 billion it's going to cost us to give the fucking Chagos Islands away to the fucking Mauritius. He goes, he started listing all the people that were for it. Right, and then he didn't mention China, who of course have welcomed it, and China have said this is a great deal for us and it's a great deal for fucking Mauritius, right? He claimed that China were against the deal. Which is another fucking lie.
That was a lie, yeah.
But he said it in the House. Now, you're supposed to be held. You're supposed to be held up to a high standard in the House of Commons, and you can be actually suspended for lying in the House of Commons. It's something. It's one of those little nice things. You know, remember that?
Which is why they always used to be very, very careful. Yeah. So the House of Commons, you could tell when they're in trouble because they would say, you know, I do not have that information available to me at this point, but I will get back to that. And all that crap, which means they're in the shit.
That's exactly right. Because, you know, it's supposed to be a place where gentlemanly behaviour goes on, you know. But Starmer gets rattled very easily.
And then he lies.
And when he gets rattled, he's even more likely to lie or insult somebody and be really fucking horrible and nasty to someone, you know.
Yeah, and it was worse than him just saying China was against the deal, because, of course, they're very much in favour of the deal.
Yeah.
He said that China was against the deal, and if you are against the deal, that makes you in bed with China.
Yeah.
You are siding the evil enemy.
And he pointed
out... What a load of fucking bollocks.
And he boys like Reform and went on about them and their connections to Putin. Absolute bullshit, you know. The man is incredibly fucking incompetent. He's completely useless. And I think, for the first time, I'm hearing that there are rumours and rumblings now in Westminster that if, as we suspect, in the summer, when there's, or it may, might actually be, yeah, will it be, it be, might be, maybe it'd be later in the year. If they lose this by-election this week, which is, I think, today, isn't it? Or tomorrow, up in Scotland on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
If they lose that, right, that's fucking very bad news for Labour. It means they've fucking lost... For Labour to lose a seat in Scotland would be horrendous. But if they lose in those other council elections where, you know, they were suspended, which some of which I think are later this year and a couple of them are early next year, he's fucking gone.
Yeah.
He's toast.
Well, let me tell you about another thing that's going on. I did this on my show the other night. You know that arsewipe who used to be the Labour health minister, a bloke called Andrew Gwynn?
Oh, yeah.
And he's the one who got caught with that disgusting WhatsApp view going on about that.
They won't let him go, will they?
Yeah, that old lady who said complained about her bins and he hoped she died by the next election. There were also racist posts and sexist posts.
And anti-Semitic as well.
Yeah, he's an A-grade fucking cunt.
Yeah.
Anyway, of course, Labour had to ditch him, sack him as health minister, take the whip away from him. He now is the independent member for one of those constituencies up in Greater Manchester.
He's somewhere like Bury, isn't he?
Yeah, the name of which I forget. It's nothing to do with Labour, but Labour are now saying, for the cause, mate, you mustn't resign.
Yeah.
You mustn't resign.
Because they don't want the by-election.
Because if he resigns, there's a by-election, and that is a Labour stronghold, just like Runcorn was, and fucking Reform will topple them again. And worse, so they're terrified of that.
Yeah.
And worse than that, what are the neighbouring constituencies? They are the constituencies of that pretend solicitor, lying little cunt, Jonathan Reynolds, and the ludicrous Angela Rayner.
Yes.
Those are the neighbouring constituencies.
This is the calibre of these fucking people, right? You know, a fucking bald liar, old Reynolds, right? Yes, I gave the wrong impression over the last 10 years by saying that I was a solicitor when, in fact, I was a trainee solicitor.
I've given the impression, and I do apologise for giving the impression that I'm the Archbishop of Canterbury. I'm actually not.
Right. I hope that it wasn't misunderstood.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'd like to clarify.
Sorry for the misunderstanding.
This is another part of them fucking not answering questions, right? The way that they speak, it's like Angela Rayner. Do you remember when she would be interviewed, I think, by Trevor Phillips on the housing front?
Yeah.
And he said, so all these immigrants that are coming over, you know, where are they going to live? If there's a housing crisis. He said, oh, we've got plenty of houses. And he said, well, hang on, you can't say we haven't got enough houses and you need to build 1.5 million houses, but now you're saying there's plenty of houses. Which is it? And she was completely flummoxed and she kind of just gave up in the end. She just kind of went, well, they're the wrong kind of houses.
Yeah.
And that's because they don't know how to, they can't, they can't sort of, you know, freewheel. They can't answer questions they haven't been prepared
for. She was making
Did you hear, and I mean, it was on Nick Ferrari's show, so obviously I only saw the clip later.
Yeah.
Fucking John Healy goes on, right? Ferrari says to him, so this business of the submarines, you know,
They're going to buy 12?
No, it's not even that clear, because it turns out that we've already got 6, right?
Yeah.
And the phrase is, this is where you realise that Starmer's being a fucking liar. He goes up to 12, right?
So, well, that could be naught.
Yeah, so it could be 0. So it could be 1, could be 2. So Ferrari goes to him, so up to, he said, I could lose up to 3 stone, but he said, I might only lose a pound. You know, what do you think? And he can't, and he goes,
actually, well, Nick could lose, well, 30 stone.
It's very harsh, yeah. That. I might be having lunch with him soon. Anyway, so basically,
you only go out with him because it makes you look thin.
That's
right?
True, very true. And he goes, he says, well, we haven't worked out how many submarines we're going to buy. And then he went, and how much are they?
Well, don't tell me he didn't know.
He didn't know. He's still working that out. He said,
they're expensive, I can tell you that.
He said, we're still kind of assessing that. And so Nick's going, so you've ordered a load of submarines, but you don't know how much they cost.
You don't know how many.
And you don't know how many. So it didn't really sound like a war footing, does it, really?
Well,
and they're not going to be finished anyway for about fucking 10 years. So they're not going to be able to use the fucking things.
There's no commitment to do that. They've announced, as you say, building up to 12 new nuclear subs, which by the time their parliament is over will mean they'll build none.
And Putin will be dead probably.
Yeah, exactly. They've also announced putting nuclear missiles on British fighter jets.
Yeah.
We haven't got any nuclear missiles, so that'll be quite interesting.
Excellent.
And the entire sort of we're on a war footing now was once again exactly what you're saying. These cunts.
Bollocks.
That fucking bloke, Healy, who, by the way, you know, he obviously hasn't got very good genes because he looks like he's about 98.
How old is he?
I don't know, but he must be pushing 100.
Somebody said he's
fucking old guy.
He bears a striking resemblance to Leonard Rossiter in Rising.
Yes, he does, yeah. Well, he looks more like Leonard Rossiter's dad.
Come, Miss Jones.
He's fucking old.
The trouble is, when they started, I thought he might be one of the good ones because he came across as somebody who actually knew what he was talking about. He seems to have lost the fucking plot now.
But there's always this narrative, oh, you know, West Streeting's one of the better ones. Well, maybe he is.
He's disappeared, but he's
fucking up the NHS in spades.
Because he's also a fucking liar.
Yeah, Healy, you know, fucking useless.
We're cutting the NHS waiting times, right? A friend of mine's been waiting to get his eyes done. To get them, you know, a cataract removed or fucking lasers or something like that. He's now had the appointment cancelled 3 times on the NHS. 3 fucking times.
Well, you know what they do now? I've got one coming up to defence in a minute, but you know what they do with these waiting lists?
They're just moving people.
Well, you say you've been on a waiting list for 6 months, a year. They'll say, right, here's your appointment next week, next Thursday at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then the day before, they cancel it, but you are no longer then on the waiting.
You get moved. They'll give you a different list.
So they're playing with the numbers. But to go back to the defence spending review, that was just one great big mass of fucking gaslighting. First of all, right, we spend now 2.3% of our GDP, gross domestic product, on defence.
Yeah.
Way too low by NATO, actually, I believe, likes the idea of 5%.
Oh, they do? Well, that's what Poland's spending.
Yeah. So we're 2.3%, but we're saying that by the 2027, in 2 years' time, we will have achieved our target of 2.5%.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the target we're going to achieve of 3%. Mm. And then when Healy was pressed by Laura Kunzberg on that on the BBC on Sunday, you say going to 3%, when will you achieve that? When is the target? And he said, that's an ambition.
Yeah.
In other words, it's nothing.
Right.
It's nothing.
It's fuck all.
It's fucking. So we are unlikely even to get to 2.5% by 2027. We're never going to get to 3%. NATO is already turning around and saying they want 4%.
It's not enough. The thing is, they haven't got any money. They literally haven't got any money.
Yeah. So they get this blizzard of announcements on Monday, a couple of days ago, saying, you know, this is a changed world. Look at all this commitment to defence. We're going to keep the nation safe. Your safety in our hands, keeping you out of danger. It was one long line of utter fucking bullshit. So in other words, we are not safe. These cunts are putting us in danger.
Yeah. Well, of course they are. They can't even protect the fucking border, right? So the idea that somehow we're being kept safe by these twats who can't stop a load of fucking Iranian spies coming in, can't stop a load of fucking terrorists coming in. Oh, they're suddenly going to stop.
Can't stop 1,200 migrants coming in.
That's what I mean. These people are all coming in fucking willy-nilly whenever they want on the boats, you know. They can't stop that. How the fuck are they going to stop anything to do with a proper attack? But I find it actually quite scurrilous and disgusting that they're even saying these things, because they're frightening people. Because, you know, older people who know a bit about fucking history and who've been through wars and things like that, they don't want fucking to hear that there's going to be a war, but they worry about it. And I think it's really fucking, you know, dangerous and irresponsible for the Prime Minister and members of his cabinet to say to people that we are literally at risk of having Third World War. Well, listen, I think it's wrong.
I totally agree with you, totally, but this is the first resort, if you like, but you might want to say last resort. First or last resort of the scoundrel government. Now, what you do, that's what those Tory cunts did during the COVID crisis. Mm. It's called the power of nightmares. Terrify the population and say, look to us, we'll keep you safe. Here's why you should be fucking scared as shit, and here's how we're going to save you, how we're going to keep you safe.
The only thing is when people from Sky News say to ministers, how worried should we be? Do you remember that question they used to ask people all the time during COVID? How worried should we be? Fuck off. You shouldn't worry at all,
retrospect, not very much at all, really, fuck's sake. What was it I saw the other day on Sky News? It was a discussion. That's right. It was a discussion about Islam. And who was it that slammed Islam the other day and went to jail for it? And they were discussing the charges against Islam.
Mm.
It was the Quran burning guy, right?
Yeah.
So the guy who burnt the Quran, by the way, should have every right to do that. It's outrageous that he's been done for it. But anyway, while he was burning the Quran,
I'm surprised fucking Sadiq Khan didn't do it for a ULEZ violation. You know.
Yeah. What about the clean air issue? Yeah, absolutely. So he's burning the Quran. I'm going to tell you a funny story in a minute about that as well. He's burning the Quran and he gets shouting, fuck Islam, fucking terrorists, it's the religion of terrorists. So later on, I'm watching Sky News paper review late at night.
Yeah.
And it's three of them, I won't name them, but it's two sort of
left. Do we know them all?
Well, one of them was Adam Bolton, to be honest with you, and the other one was the deputy political editor of The Guardian, girl whose name I can't remember. And the Geraldine, whatever her name is, the host. Anyway, so they're talking about this, and they're saying, well, yes, sir, the sort of covert return of the blasphemy laws potentially is very much a contentious issue, and it is perhaps something we ought to be worried about. And then this Geraldine woman went, yes, but she said, I mean, some of the things he said, I mean, he said that Islam was the religion of terrorism. Yeah, well, Geraldine, that's because it fucking is, you dumb fuck. Right. I mean, do you know, I looked it up. That 84%... Yeah. Oh, you can't say that. It is. This is what we're talking about earlier, the things you're not allowed to say. 84% of terrorist attacks are by Islamic extremists. Mm. So Islam is the religion of terrorism.
I think I can claim that without any shadow of a doubt.
Fucking unbelievable.
But the other business, though, which I found astonishing this week, was the judge in that case saying that the reason why you can tell that what this guy was doing was offensive and extreme was because some mad nutter came out of a fucking house and tried to stab him. You know, well, that's hardly, as somebody pointed out.
Brilliant, isn't it?
As somebody pointed out to me, he said, you might as well lock Salman Rushdie up then for writing the satanic verses because he was so
exactly
provocative.
Exactly right,
you
know, exactly right.
It's so like that old Monty Python sketch from the fucking Derek and Clive, you know. You provocative cunt.
Yeah, that's right. You know, he did what you fucking breathed.
You fucking bastard.
I'll tell you what he did. He breathed next. Yeah. He breathed. Yeah. Fucking bollocks. Cunt.
Right. Yeah, so fucking Salman Rushdie's written this book about fucking, you know, upsets all the
Well, it serves him fucking
lock him
right.
Up, fucking lock him
yeah,
up.
Yeah, dig his fucking eye out, you know. I mean, exactly right. The judge said it must have been a public order offence because you caused public disorder because someone tried to stab you. And by the way,
that's like locking you up wearing a Fulham scarf, walking down the street to go to a fucking QPR game.
Yeah, so that guy tried to stab him.
Yeah.
Muslim guy says, my religion, you can't do that.
Well, he did stab him, didn't he?
Yeah. So he was arrested. So why has Hamid Koskin, that's the Quran burning guy's
name, right.
So why is this case done and dusted and the guy who tried to stab him isn't in court for two more years? Two-tier fucking
and
justice.
It can't be because he's pleaded not guilty.
Two-tier.
Presumably the Turkish guy.
Well, so did Hamid Koskin, yeah. So anyway.
I know, it is bollocks.
So Hamid Koskin, to his credit, he's announced that he's thinking of going on a Quran burning tour.
I saw that.
So I was at Rod Little on my show last night, and I was saying, I think this is a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he could go on tour with a rock band, you know, backing up U2 or something.
Yeah,
like
I heard that, actually.
Anyway, so somebody fucking...
What about, maybe he could go on tour with Kneecap?
Well,
you know,
yeah.
You could have all human life is here, you know, this, burning a Quran on the stage, and they could come on waving a Hezbollah flag and fucking kill him.
Well, this guy...
Know,
this
great
guy,
show.
This guy fucking texts in, guy Stuart from Glasgow or something. He said, well, what he should do is go on tour with Simon Le Bon and call the tour Quran Quran.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant. Some of the shit that people come out with on our shows is tremendous.
Yeah.
But let's talk about some of the news that's been going on this week. How about the old the goblin fucking Greta Thunberg, who apparently is now getting nearer and nearer to Gaza on this fucking boat.
What is she now, 63?
She's 63. She's 22 going on 45. And she's on this fucking flotilla going to Gaza, right? And apparently the last time anybody did this... The last time anybody...
Who gives a shit?
Right.
Silly cow.
Yes, it's her and a couple of other fuckwits. Who, you know, they've got...
Fuck off, Greta.
They've got enough supplies for about four fucking people, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to supposedly break the siege of Gaza. Unfortunately for her, the IDF have basically said, we're keeping an eye on it. And the last time somebody tried this... The IDF fucking stormed the boat and killed nine people.
Fucking, so, I mean, you know, seriously, message to Greta, don't do this.
Yeah.
This is above your pay grade.
Exactly.
Gaza is a very dangerous place.
Yeah.
It isn't a place for you to play your silly virtue signaling game.
It really is.
She fucking does that. I mean, she may end up being a martyr to her cause.
She may well be.
By the way.
Well, a lot of people are saying, well, just let her land in fucking Gaza and see how long she fucking lasts before she gets murdered by Hamas.
Yeah, by the way, talking about fucking Caroline, what's her name?
Caroline Leavitt, yeah. Leavitt. How would you go to the BBC? That was brilliant, wasn't it?
It is true.
We did
so
that
this
morning.
In the papers at the weekend, right, there was an interview, Jeremy Bowen. You know, the BBC...
He's completely lost, Jeremy.
The BBC's
Bowen.
Chief Gaza liar.
Yeah, chief Hamas supporter.
Yes, chief Israel-hating
liar. I actually watched
liar.
An interview. He did an interview once with one of the leaders of Hamas, right? And it was one of those things that only went out online. And at the end of it, he gets up out of his chair, the Hamas guy gets up out of his chair, and they fucking hug each other.
I bet they fucking do.
And you're going, sorry.
Hamas owe Jeremy a lot of favours.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's this fucking interview he's given to someone. It's in all the papers. That he says, you know, that the BBC is too timid in its reporting of Donald Trump. That we talk, he said, we talk about distortions and Donald Trump, you know, twisting the information, not being direct with it. He said, we should just report this as Donald Trump, the American president, telling lies. He said, we should use the word lie and lies. Well, he can fucking talk, can't he?
Well, this is the same guy,
fucking liar.
This is the same guy who, do you remember, I think it must have been last year, it might even have been, I think it was last year, when that supposed hospital was blown up by the Israelis and 500 people were supposed to be killed. And that was the first initial report, went out on the BBC, turned out that actually not only did the hospital not get bombed, but the device that had exploded in the car park of the hospital was actually an Islamic Jihad fucking missile, which had been fired by
misfire,
the other side.
Misfire,
it was a misfire. Hardly anybody was killed. It didn't hit the hospital. And it was a wrong story. And I saw Jeremy Bowen being interviewed on one of these BBC kind of, you know, self-wanking fucking shows. You know, let's all interview each other and see how we fucking feel, right?
Let's come all over
each
other.
And it was like, I know it was hard to...
I know what it is. You know, what is it? Is it called News Quest?
Something like that.
That some funny bullshit, little show, you know, where they all
where
sit
they all,
around.
They all sit around and fucking, you know, talk about what great wankers they are. Anyway, he fucking... he admitted that he got it wrong. But he didn't apologise, and he said he wasn't sorry that he got it wrong. He actually said, you know, I don't regret making that report. It doesn't matter if it was wrong. What's happening in Gaza is an absolute abomination.
Absolutely.
And you just think, what sort of journalist are you?
Yeah, well, this is
you're just
what,
making shit up now.
When Caroline Leavitt, you know, exposed them for what they did, he said, you know, they're using Hamas statistics. You know, old Jake Wallace Simons, former editor of the...
Jewish Chronicle
has been saying this for 2 years. You know, nobody ever looks at Israeli statistics.
No.
Only 5% of the media use Israeli statistics. 95%
I know, it's amazing.
Hamas. So, particularly the BBC. So, this was a report of the Israelis allegedly gunning down 30 people trying to get aid, food, you know. Then that was reduced to
20. There's one every day.
Yeah.
Every
so,
day.
So this was... So the BBC ran it. Mm. Then they reduced it to 20.
Yeah.
And then about 2 hours later, they said that they'd looked into it, couldn't verify it, therefore it was bollocks, right, and they pulled it down. And they, the BBC...
Didn't they also say that they've now worked out that the footage that they were using was from another place and it wasn't even in the place that they said it wanted to be?
Yeah, I mean, the point is what their excuse is this. We were merely updating a running news story.
Bollocks.
No, you just immediately swallowed Hamas's horse shit,
yes,
published it, broadcasted it, and then about 2 hours later go, oh, we got the numbers a bit wrong, changed it downwards, reduced the number shot, and then 2 hours after that announced it was all bollocks, sorry, shouldn't have done that. That isn't running news story. That is getting it wrong twice, three times, and then realising you shouldn't have done it in the fucking first place. Yes,
exactly right. But there's no change in the way that they operate, because the very next day they did exactly the same
thing. Hamas statistics.
They did exactly the same thing because they want to believe it. And that's the bit that I don't understand.
Do you want to know what you want to know what's going on now? You want to know why the media and all the West and all the Loveys and the Jeremy Bowens of this world are shitting it?
And ITV, they're going the same way.
Yeah, you know why? Because Israel are on the point of total fucking victory. When they said Hamas's fault, Israel kept saying, give us the fucking hostages and we can talk.
Right.
They won't, so Israel carry on, and Israel actually are quite close to destroying every last snivelling fucker from that shitty organisation. Mm. So that's what the Western Loveys are worried about, that Israel is about to claim or actually achieve a fucking massive victory.
Yeah.
Wipe those motherfuckers off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And they fucking well deserve it.
They do. Should we end with that, or is there anything else you want to add? Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle, fucking hell.
We've got to give you 5 minutes on Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle, okay. She's just done... first of all, it's Lily's fourth birthday.
Yes.
And so she's done a picture of Lilibet, black and white. So you can't see Lilibet's ginger hair. Christ, those kids have got real
ginger
hair.
They really are,
Anyway, you can see a third of Lilibet's face and both eyes.
Yeah.
So it's like bit by bit you get to see these kids. So fucking Harry and Meghan, their attempts to protect the privacy of their children. I mean, I understand it.
It's in direct relation to how much money they're making.
Well, it's them pretending they're stars.
Right.
It's pretending they're superstars.
Yeah,
I understand, you know, you want to protect your kids. I kind of get that. But the lengths those two go to, it's just comical.
I know.
It's just a fucking joke.
It is a joke.
Anyway, the other funny thing about me, she did this fucking shit podcast series called Confessions of a Female.
Which has also gone nowhere.
It's fucking hopeless. You must be joking. It dropped out of the top 100 podcast charts literally in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's now resigning at about number 8,000. It's an absolute disaster. So last week was supposed to be the last episode. Nobody gave a fuck. And then suddenly, a couple of days ago, I got you a special extra edition, a special extra episode. She's A-list guest. Although... she was unable to book Beyonce.
She got her mum.
She didn't manage to get her fucking mum, Tina Knowles, right?
Beyonce's mum.
Anyway, Tina Knowles turns out to be very good value.
Right.
Because Meghan starts going on about her business. And Tina Knowles basically goes, yeah, but your business is shit. she starts going, yeah, it's so difficult. What can you do? The scarcity function where... you know, we sold out in 45 minutes, and I don't know, do I restock and then sell out again? And that could be annoying. Tina goes, that is annoying.
Yeah.
And she fucking roasts her.
But also, she ran out of stuff because she didn't have much of it. She didn't run out of stuff because thousands of people wanted it.
She pretended she didn't have much of it. Yeah. She pretended. It's the illusion of demand.
Yeah.
So you only put a little bit of product on sale, so it sells out in 45 minutes, and then you say to everyone...
Yeah, but literally a fucking handful of stuff.
But the thing with Meg... what turned out, that was the only product she had.
Yeah.
And so this week... on that, she announced in an interview, well, I'm putting As Ever on hold, to try to work out what it could be. Megan, when you launch a business, it's quite a good idea to work out what it could be before you fucking launch it.
So far, she's had to rename it because she got the name wrong, confused with somebody else. Then she gave it another name, and she's now pausing that business. So what's she going to do now?
Wait a second, though. She announced this a couple of days ago, and I did a big thing with Kinsey Schofield. Yeah. I said, I can't believe this. She's just closed the business down. Yeah. And then 2 days later, she puts all the fucking Scam Jam and all those other products. So they're up for sale again.
Oh, so they're
back? Like, I think so. She is all over the fucking shop. Now, she isn't the thickest, dumbest motherfucker in that Montecito mansion.
No.
She's the second thickest.
Harry
obviously, Harry's the dumbest.
Yeah.
But they always say, oh, Meghan's very clever. Very clever, my fucking ass. No. She is as dim as shit.
Yeah, she is, I'm afraid. Yeah. I think we can end on that.
And on that bombshell. Yeah.
On that bombshell, dim as shit, Meghan Markle.
See you next week.
See you next Tuesday. Kevin O'Sullivan and I will check out. Don't be a cunt.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.